Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine, and I want to thank you for joining us for another special bonus episode. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a drone. Oh, no, it's definitely a bird. But why is there a bird in your processing plant, and how can you remove it? What do you need to know? What do you need to do? Well, we're here to help, and we brought a friend. Lenny Mongiello from IFC is back with us to share his vast expertise in safe, effective, and humane bird removal. Everything you could want to know and more, Lenny knows. But before we jump in, let's get to know Lenny. Leonard Mongiello joined IFC in 2012 and serves as their business development and sales manager. In this role, he oversees IFC's regional sales team, bird control division, advanced fogging systems, chlorine dioxide decontamination, and ProClean disinfection services business units. Before joining IFC, Leonard was the sales manager with Bird Barrier America, where he was responsible for the training of all distributors and resellers, as well as consulting with industry and end-user groups. He has presented pest bird control strategies in most of the 50 states, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, and Australia. Leonard is a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania. All right, now, let's hear that discussion.
Well, Lenny, it's great to have you on the podcast today.
Well, hi, Barbara. It's good to be with you and with all of our listeners.
So I've been curious to pick your brain about bird pests in the processing plant. So maybe you could start our listeners off by describing why are birds such a problem at the processing facility?
Well, I'm glad you asked, and you said it correctly that birds are pests, and the definition of a pest is something out of place or out of time. So birds are beautiful, they're in nature, they surround us, and they're okay. But when it comes to being at a food facility, we look at their presence through the lens of risk. And if there's risk to the people, the property, or the product occasioned by the presence of the birds or what they leave behind or their habits, then we've got a situation that the food business has dealt with and continues to as the birds make themselves present.
So I know that not all birds are really considered a pest hazard at the food facility. Are there particular species that you concentrate on?
Yeah, we typically see pigeons. House sparrows and starlings are the species we see the most. Occasionally we see crows or blackbirds, and occasionally, depending upon where they're on the flight path, and like, we see geese. But pigeons, starlings, and sparrows are the majority of birds that cause serious issues.
Now, if we talk about the different solutions to control or exclude birds, let's start with trapping. Is that a common method?
Yeah, so we deal primarily with either behavioral or structural solutions, and then the third is population control. So trapping is an example of a population control method, and trapping has its place in a full bird control program. If you've got a full flock and you've got, you know, an environment around that supports the presence of birds, trapping isn't going to eliminate your problem. They're going to reproduce as fast as you take them out with traps. So it helps take the edge off an issue. It shows an auditor or regulator that you're trying to do things about it, that you've got a program going. But it's rarely the entire solution if you have a resident population.
Now, are there any bird control solutions that can be installed by a non-professional, or is your best bet to hire someone to come?
Yes and yes. The complexity of the building and the part of the building that you're treating and the complexity of the solution usually drive that. So if you have a ledge that's 10 feet above an entrance, let's say it's an entrance canopy, and you've got pigeons perching up there, and a maintenance person can safely, at the standards of the facility, get up on a ladder and glue down some bird spike, which is good for perching pigeons. It's professional grade equipment, but it's DIY in terms of trained, safe maintenance staff can do it. The more complex solution of netting for birds, typically that is something that a facility would want to have done by a professional that has the requisite experience working at heights, safety, and understands that if you put up a bird net and don't have a complete seal, you're worse than if you had put the net up to begin with. Mm. So really good question, because the answer is yes and yes. There are, and so when our clients come to us, we always make sure we let them know what do-it-yourself solutions are available to them, and we work them through, and we offer help if they want coaching. But we're, in order to protect them and their people, we are firm to say this is something that you ought to have a professional estimate on.
Great. So you mentioned netting. Can you give us some pros and cons of using netting around a plant?
There are no cons. Netting is the professional version of what we call exclusion. And that means that our aim is to put an impenetrable barrier between the bird and its target landing location. A con might be the expense that a facility looks at to have that work done. There aren't any negatives for the plant if equipment needs to be reached that's engineered into the solution of the netting going up. It's typically not really visible. If a net is installed properly and it's overhead, it's something that one would have to be looking for to see. And there are, whenever it's a net or something else as a solution, as we evaluate, net is always the best solution, because once it goes up, it's pretty much permanent unless it is physically harmed. There's not degradation. There's not issues to worry about. And if it's installed properly, the birds can't get to their target.
Now, with the size of the netting that's used, do birds ever get caught in that?
I'm really glad you asked that. There are different sizes of net for a particular bird species that you're encountering. As a rule, our company uses the smallest, which is 3/4-inch mesh, and none of the birds that we've talked about, starlings, sparrows, or pigeons, can get anywhere near getting stuck in it. It's just too small. So I think that went into the original design of net. There's 2-inch square for pigeon and 4-inch square for seagulls on top of buildings, but no issues on that. It's a good concern to have, but it's not something that we encounter in the course of our professional work.
So I know the netting will keep the bird from finding a new home, but what about preventing them from getting inside the facility?
Well, we offer lots of tough love on that topic, Barbara. the chief reason why birds get in buildings are doors or other openings, roll-ups or personnel doors being left open, whether they're propped open by workers or forklift drivers don't have the ability or the wherewithal to close behind. But typically intrusions to buildings are because the sealed building culture is not being observed to the degree that anybody in food safety or any auditor would want. Having said that, if there are birds congregating around areas that are vulnerable because of lack of a sealed building culture, we try to help move the birds away. So if birds are perching on the side of a dumpster and drinking delicious dumpster juice and picking on stuff that's there, there are behavioral methods to kind of push them away from that dumpster. If they're congregating on a ledge above a door and the pattern is that they wait till the door opens and fly down in, we would put structural solutions to keep them off those immediate ledges. So, yeah, two-part answer. One, if the doors are shut, there's a lesser chance of intrusion, but if the birds are massed around particular openings, we can help push them away to other places.
Now, I've heard about different vocalizations that can be played to kind of keep the birds away. Do those work?
Yes and no. So these fall under behavioral solutions. So we're attempting to influence the behavior of the bird. Any behavioral solution is not going to be a binary solution like a structural solution that just stops something from happening physically. So depending upon the species of the bird, the strength of the infestation, and the quality of the sound device used, there can be success. We advise our clients it's a low-cost solution. If you want to do a stair step and do the least expensive things first and evaluate how they work, go get a sound device, get the right recommendations for it, choose the right setting, choose the right frequency, move it around. You know, you have to have a whole bunch of things go right for it to work. So we're not in a position to say that they don't work. We say they're behavioral. Behavioral always has some question to it. It has to be the right species in the right place and the right employment of it, and you've got a chance for it to work. What they do, just if I can expand, is typically they play a predator in distress call loop. So the birds hear one of their own chirping away happily, getting attacked and dying really slowly. And it plays in a loop. And the issue is that birds have a really amazing ability to discern what's truly in nature and our best attempts to imitate it. And so that's why sometimes it just doesn't work. And other than some birds are more attentive to stuff that happens in flocks, like slow death, and others are not. And some communicate about it and some don't. So there's all those things factor into whether it's going to work or not.
Now, you mentioned if you had birds congregating on a ledge that you could make structural changes to keep them off the ledge. What would some of those solutions be?
The most important one in the history of bird control is ordinary bird spike. These are blunted tines that go off at angles and make a landing surface uncomfortable. So they're for pigeons and larger, and they're built at a height so the pigeon can't get its foot on the ledge surface without those tines of the spike making it feel wobbly and kind of bothering the pigeon and not letting it land fully. So they don't hurt them. They just make landing really uncomfortable, and they keep the bird from getting its little bird feet on the edge of the ledge, which is what they like to do when they land, when they perch, and when they take off. So for pigeons and larger, if they're placed at the edge of the ledge, spike is a really tried and true solution. There's a really cool one called Bird Shock Flex Track. It works like an electric fence at a ranch that's used for cattle or horses. So the birds actually would step on this solution that's applied to the edge of a ledge, and their body would become the ground for a high voltage, low amperage current, which encourages them to never come back. It doesn't hurt them, but it provides a sensation that they don't want to repeat. And it's a nice solution because it's almost invisible, if not invisible, and it works on all species. And there's lots and lots and lots of it out there. It's a very elegant solution for ledges.
So if you could estimate what the cost is for all of these different solutions, it sounds like it really runs the gambit from, you know, inexpensive but maybe not as effective solutions to kind of the high end. So what would you say if someone, you know, contacted your company and wanted some more information about the expense?
Typically, myself or my team go out and look, or my expanded teammates at IFC go out and look, and we'll do an assessment, and we tell what should be done, what can be done, and a relative sense of the costing. And so we don't say no for somebody. If they say we would never put a net up, if net is what we recommend a net. So yes, the expense does run the gamut. And so many times we'll say, how do you want to address it immediately? Here's some things that you can do now. And sometimes they're that tough love of, you know, doing the right thing with the structure, covering that dumpster, closing those doors. And a lot of times in the food business, food safety people can get their requests validated by a third party like us who have an expertise to come and say, yes, this is what you need to do. You people out there listening to this podcast, you know exactly what you need to do and how to do it. And sometimes you enlist us to just help you get the wheels turning with inside your business.
Now, it sounds like when the birds are congregating around the dumpster that some external sanitation is usually recommended to keep those pests away. But what about bird droppings on the ground and on surfaces?
So I am so happy that you asked. We talked about the risk to people, property, or product. Well, bird droppings walk, and they walk on the bottom of the shoes of the people who walk through them. They also, if they are dry high up, they can damage buildings, and they can etch into hard surfaces that have some porosity like concrete. They can also damage expensive things like membrane roofs. So bird droppings are the birds are not the problem. The bird droppings are the problem. And we encourage our clients to look into bioenzyme cleaning solutions that actually lift droppings. And as they're processed through by the live enzyme, the toxins in them are rendered inert. So the solution that we recommend mixes one-to-one with water. It lasts a long time, and it's highly effective, and clients love it. So droppings cleanup should be the first thing in any program to make sure that the threat of the droppings with their pathogens and or their slip and fall risk are not encountered. So I'm happy that you remember to ask about that, because that is a big part of bird control, is actually doing something about what's the most damaging about the birds, which is what they very unthoughtfully and liberally leave around.
Now, is there a particular time of year that bird pests are more of a problem than others?
The three main pest birds are not migratory, so we have them all year round. That's starling, sparrow, and pigeon. Sometimes the smaller birds will seek a structure to make their nest, and in the wild, because of the climatic conditions, if they change, if you have a climate like that, and breeding is suppressed. But no, they're four-season pests, those three. The three chief offenders are not migratory, and we deal with them all year long.
So, Lenny, as we wrap up, what do you recommend to keep the birds away in the first place? You know, what is attracting them to the facility besides the open door?
Karma. So birds will very naturally enjoy the largest structure in an area. They'll use the tops of buildings for vantage to look for predators up and look down for prey. So sometimes if your facility out there in listener land is the biggest one in a space, and many food plants are, you're just probably going to get birds. It also depends upon what ecology surrounds you. If you're, you know, in an area that's surrounded by a lot of green and a lot of blue, you know, foliage, forest, or water, there's going to be birds around. So a lot of times the facility can't do something to not have birds at all, unfortunately. However, if they come, addressing them sooner rather than later is something that's very impactful. You know, we get called to solve bird problems that have been happening for quite a long time. We've been providing service. We've written it up, if you will. We've noticed that, we've encouraged action, but it takes a long time for a bird problem to, how do I say it properly? A bird problem, once it starts, will get worse almost always. So earlier intervention, nest removal. So if you're not ready to put a net up in your canopy, but those dang little birds keep on going in the corners making nests, it's not illegal to move them or remove them. You know, take actions like that is a good way to sort of upset their behavior, maybe have them go look somewhere else.
It's been such a pleasure talking with you, Lenny. I always learn a lot. So thank you.
Back at you. Our pleasure to be of help, and we hope that this has been informative.
Thanks again to Lenny for this very informative discussion and for IFC for sponsoring this episode. For more information about how IFC can help keep the pests out of your facility, visit the show notes page in your podcast player or the episode page on our website at food-safety.com. Then find our bonus episode entitled IFC, Getting the Birds Out. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Food Safety Matters. We'll talk to you soon.